Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
As always, Growing the Game with Ballsy brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, get Mako Collision Repair in Regina, 2337th Avenue. Go see Alan Mann and Joe Cardiff, two good community-minded guys who help you out in the auto body business and also help us out in the football world and the community at large. Go see them and give them your business. Thanks to those dudes for helping me out here. All right, without further ado, let's get to it. All right, here with Riders head coach, GM, well, Mr. Everything, Chris Jones, who's just signed a contract extension. Coach, how does that feel?
You know what? It's awful good to get an opportunity to have another year extended so we can try to get where we need to be.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this. Now, you've been around this league a long time in different locations. What's it like for you to be in the football hotbed, Saskatchewan? I know you said before it's like, back home where football matters, but to be the guy where everybody's eyes are on, where you go for a beer or something, guys are looking at you, how does that feel?
You know what, I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, you've been around scrutinized, you know, your whole life. So, I mean, it's really no different from anything else that we've been through.
Coach, are you right on schedule with where you wanted to be in this rebuild? Obviously you had a lot of work to do when you got here. Were you surprised by this season or obviously disappointed you didn't end in a Grey Cup? But are you right on schedule?
No, I mean, we ain't where we want to be. I mean, everything we base it off of is winning a championship, you know, and if we don't win a championship, it's a disappointment. So, no, we're not where we're supposed to be.
Coach, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the coach or do you prefer the talent evaluator side of your job?
No, I'm a football coach.
That's your favorite part.
No doubt, man. I'm a football coach, man.
But you know what? You seem, you know, just watching you from the sidelines there when you're working guys out and stuff, you seem to really take a lot of, enjoyment from doing that part of the job too. What do you like about what do you like about that side of the job?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's what I do in the off season, and it's something that a long time ago I took an interest in when I was in college ball and recruiting and that type thing. So I mean, it's and you know, you found a few guys here or there, and you just keep working at it and hope that you can find some guys to help you win, you know, and that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, you know what? You guys do have a pretty scary-looking roster right now, you know, depending on how the free agency works out for your football team. What I like about your team, and this it seemed like this year was more a Chris Jones kind of team, the Chris Jones we were expecting, you know, this type of team where, you got an athletic team that kind of runs on your chest, as I like to say. Very athletic, physical team. Did you feel better? Was this more like a Chris Jones team to you this year?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I don't ever define it as a Chris Jones team. This is us, man. I mean, a lot more people involved than just myself. I mean, we've got a real good personnel staff with Jeremy O'Day and John Murphy and Mike Davis, and I mean, we got a lot of folks that are involved to bring the players here, and you know, that's not even mentioning our coaches who do a heck of a job, you know, coaching these guys up.
Yeah, this week, James Franklin, a guy you know well, obviously, because you brought him to the league, goes to Toronto, and there's been a lot of talk, you know, not from you, but around these circles about, will Franklin be here? Well, you know, this or that. How do you feel about your quarterbacking situation as it sits right now going into the season?
Yeah, you know what? We've got five good guys, you know, that are listed as quarterbacks for us, and, you know, they're just really outstanding people, number one, and we look forward to, you know, moving forward with them and starting to compete right away.
You know, you went in every game because I was at all the media scrums. Kevin Glenn is our guy, and you were true to him, but you weren't afraid to make a move. Do you feel like you need to have a more definitive number one guy this season?
Well, I mean, we won 11 ball games, you know, this year, and I mean, heck, we dropped about two or three of them under, you know, a point or two, and so we got an opportunity to win just about every ball game. It's just a matter of going out and playing good football. So, I can't tell you exactly how we're going to do it, but I can tell you this, that if we got the same exact group we had last year, we got a shot at being every ball game.
That's a pretty funny comment. I'm not laughing at you. I'm kind of laughing with you because I think probably in your head you're like, man, some of these stupid questions. Because you guys won 11 football games with the situation you had. I mean, like you said, if you can make a couple plays here or there, you have a home playoff game, and then you're probably playing in the Grey Cup, right?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's, you know, you look at teams that have played in the last few Grey Cups, just about all of them have a common denominator. They're getting a bye week and that type thing. So what we can't do is we can't get out of the hole slow next year. We need to come out and play good football early. You know, I got to do a great job of coaching them, and we got to get ready to, you know, play fast and win early and get off on the right foot.
Now, you're always evaluating your roster as you start your recruiting process here in the off season. Where have you identified where you need to get better right away?
Well, you know, I was asked that question a little while ago. You know, I mean, you feel good and everybody talks about how good your roster is, but basically, you know, you're one slip up of a guy down home, he does something wrong, or a guy gets hurt training, or you know, you come to camp and, you know, a guy plays one snap. So you always got to have who your number two and three, you know, guys are. Otherwise, you're not prepared.
Hey, let me ask you that. We started this interview, Chris, and I know we got to go because you're a busy guy here. But, you know, you're the coach and you're the GM. And I know you have other people in place, Murphy and O'Day and such. But is it tough to be the coach and then be a GM off the field, or because you've got other guys helping you in that aspect, that kind of takes the heat? Because I've talked to other guys where, you know, you got to negotiate their contract, and then you got to go out and coach them. You got to wear two different hats. Does that bug you?
Yeah, you know what? Again, I've got some real good guys that help me with the GM portion of it. You know, and it's good because both of them are going to be, you know, eventually we'll win enough ball games, somebody will come and get both of those guys as GMs in the league. So they've done an outstanding job for us bringing personnel, and not only that, but, you know, getting them signed and that type thing, dealing with all the agents. And, you know, and that's the worst part, is dealing with the agents. And then, from there, like I say, I mean, you're right. I do have to go on the field and coach them. But, you know, the thing that we've established since we've been here, you know, is that, you know, we've got to put a team together. We can't just have one or two good players and, you know, have marquee names and they make all the money. You got to spread the wealth around and try to get as many good players as you possibly can, because it takes a lot of depth in order to win.
Your guy, Brandon Bridge, you know, a few weeks ago you said there were some preliminary talks with Bridge. He's a Canadian at that position, but he's not considered a Canadian. Do you think that's going to change? Do you think he might get a Canadian status? Do you think we'll see something in the offseason?
You know, I don't know. You know, I know our commissioner is very open to doing different things, you know, that try to make our league better. And he's not really stuck in the past and, you know, hard selling that, hey, we got to keep things status quo. You know, I mean, he's a guy that will, you know, come in and, you know, very quickly change the rules around with the challenges and that type thing. So I think that he's open to it. I think he's probably just doing the preliminary investigation of how it would impact our league.
Yeah, lastly, on that ratio thing, Chris, before I ask you my last question, you know, there's been some talk about the ratio in terms of, you know, the Canadian quarterback, but even, you know, maybe reducing the ratio. Where do you stand on playing Canadians and in terms of the ratio numbers? Do you like where it sits now? Would you like to see fewer, more? Where do you sit, Chris?
You know, a lot of guys will say, you know, the one thing it does do is you know, it impacts the when you have a ratio, when you have to have a certain amount of anything, it does affect the cap, because those people know that they're needed much more because there's fewer of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does impact your cap. But I mean, our game's been good for a long time, and you know, there's a possible 10th team coming in, and which will hurt us even more as far as, you know, the number of you know, Canadian players that are out there and available. And so you'll have to do a lot more developing for your young Canadians as we go along.
But I know I talked to you, and as the talent evaluator guy, I talked to you when you first came to town. We did a dinner together, and you had said you're really pleased by how much the Canadian talent has gone up in this country from when you first got here.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. I mean, when I first got up here in Montreal, I mean, it was really unbelievable. You know, when I went to my first combine, which was held actually in Montreal, I mean, until where you see it sitting at now and see and watch our combine. And, I mean, the CIS coaches and the high school coaches and the players themselves, I mean, football's come a long way in 16 years.
You know what? You get paid to win football games, and personally, as a guy who's lived here most of my life, I don't care what you do. But I found it. I just take the people behind the scenes. We were together briefly, and I wasn't really hanging around with you, but we were together watching American Thanksgiving football in a man cave with a bunch of guys, local guys, and I just found it cool that the Rider head coach is sitting here watching football with people, just kind of breaking bread, having a bottle of water, watching football at American Thanksgiving. And I think that's a side of Chris Jones people don't get to see a lot, because they say, well, he lives in a hotel and he's not in our community. Just, for a quick second here, Chris, just talk about, how much you like Regina, like Saskatchewan.
I love it. Like I say, the whole reason behind me staying in a hotel is because I don't sleep for about 4 or 5 hours a night. So we get off by 7 or 8, and so I get off and go home and grab a bite to eat, and then quite honestly, it just makes it so much easier because I get up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work, and it just makes it so much easier because I just have to pay one bill. I don't have a water bill, electric bill, cable bill, internet bill, I just pay one thing, and then that's it. Like I say, I try to worry about what matters most, and that's trying to give every minute of my time to the football program.
And obviously the bosses like it because they gave you an extension. Okay, before I let you go, last question. Christmas is upon us, Chris Jones. What's the best gift you got, maybe as a kid? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm tell you this. I grew up very poor, mm-hmm. And I can remember one time my mama got me a bicycle, and I can remember being very proud of that bicycle, probably more proud than anything I ever got, because like I say, not many of my buddies, had bikes, and like I say, when I got mine, it was a real proud moment.
That's Chris Jones, Riders head coach and GM and Mr. Everything. He's on for another year with this football team, and we're happy to have him. Thanks for this, Coach.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate y'all having me.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
And the Growing the Game podcast is brought to you by Mako Collision Repair here in Regina. If you've had an OO and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair at 2330 7th Avenue. We're joined now by Cody Ellingson, who is a recruit for the University of Regina Rams, as it is that time of year, Christmas and recruiting season for the coaches across the CanWest Conference, and of course also in junior football. And Cody Ellingson joining me, 6'2", 225-pounder out of Swan Valley, Manitoba. Now, they got you penciled in at linebacker, but before we rolled tape on this interview, I just found out you've never played football before. What the heck's going on? So tell us a bit about your background, Cody.
So basically, I've played junior hockey for the past 3 years in Swan River, my hometown there, and I ended up just deciding to come to school and move on from the game of hockey, and I ended up getting in contact with the coach, and basically we just talked or whatever about my sport background and my athleticism and whatnot, and I ended up going out for a bit of a tryout with the coaches, mm-hmm. and I guess they liked what I saw, so they decided to give me a shot, and I'm very grateful and everything for the opportunity. So
now you come from
excited to get going. And
now you come from a football family. Like your football is football hungry. Your family is football hungry, rather.
Yeah. My brother's actually committed to play here for the Rams next year as well. So he's a corner. So it'll be good to play with him and have him kind of guide me through the things. And my dad is he's a football coach back home for the high school team in Swan River. So that'll be good to have him, his knowledge of the game as well, to help me move into the new game.
Are you concerned about the late transition, playing at a high level and playing for the first time?
Yeah. Well, I'm confident in my abilities that I'll be able to make the transition. Like, there's a lot of things that'll transfer over, whether it's like angling or vision and all that from hockey to football. So I think once I get in the swing of things, it'll be a pretty easy transition, but there's obviously a lot of stuff that I'm going to have to work on and catch up on. So
let me get this
straight. Yeah.
Let me get this straight. Your dad's a football coach. Your brother is a football fanatic, like you just mentioned. How did you go through your whole life and you never played a down of football?
Yeah, that's kind of a... So basically, I was just always really good at hockey, and I ended up moving away from home when I was in grade 9 to play hockey elsewhere because we were just too small of a community to have any elite hockey. So I was, when I moved away from home in grade 9, it kind of, I was kind of in a more like, I was there to play hockey, so I didn't really have the opportunity, like, as much as I wanted to all growing up and everything. I was just like, on the time, I was just focused on hockey and playing at a high level, so that's kind of where I was through high school. And then going into grade 12, I ended up playing junior hockey back home, so that until now that I'm 20 is where I've been. So that's kind of how I've managed to go without playing football.
So as Coach Bryce told you, you got to take a little bit more of the you know, extra training, extra tutorial sessions to get up to speed before you do any real meaningful team activities?
He pretty much just put me in the swing of things, like, included me in all the meetings right away, and, like, we're starting practices, obviously, in the off season here, so I'm definitely going to be working by myself, and, like, with my, like, going into the holidays here, I'm going to go home and train with my brother and my dad. They're going to put a lot of work into me, and so I'm hopefully going to be able to hop in pretty quick here.
Were you a defenseman or forward in hockey?
I was a forward.
So forward. So were you an aggressive type? You like to throw the body around? They got you at linebacker.
Yeah.
They got you at linebacker. So I'm assuming aggressiveness is your forte.
Yeah, I was always a, well, I should say always. I used to be pretty small actually in my high school days, and then I kind of blew up when I was probably grade 11, and then I kind of made the transition into more of a aggressive, like, grinder, kind of playmaker, using my body and all that to my advantage. So yeah.
Your dad pretty excited that you've chosen football? He must be pretty pumped.
Yeah, he's pretty excited. Him and my uncle are both coaches back home, so they're both pretty excited. And yeah, so
that's awesome. Okay, so lastly, we'll have a little fun question here for you. Cody Ellingson, one of the new recruits for the Rams, is a very interesting story, as you just heard. So it's Christmas time. What's your favorite Christmas present that you've received so far in your short life?
I would say maybe 5 or so years ago, we ended up getting, my parents gave us tickets to the Bahamas for a family vacation. So wow. I'd have to say that is probably my favorite gift that I've received so far.
Okay, and lastly, we go into the new year. What's your big goal for your New Year's resolution or for your plan for 2018? What's the big goal for Cody Ellingson?
I would say just transform into a good football player, probably.
I'm sure Coach Steve Bryce would like that too. That's Cody Ellingson, the new recruit, 6'2", 225-pounder, never played football in his life, but he's going to give it a shot, linebacking core for the University of Regina Rams. Thanks for this, Cody.
Awesome, thank you.
And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair at 2330 7th Avenue here in Regina. Just before we get to our next guest, want to give a shout out to the Thunder. They continue their recruiting, as Scott McCauley very busy with his PFC football team there. They'll have their first indoor workout at level 10, he tells me, in early part of January, and he's finalizing his coaching staff. There will be some retooling there with the Regina Thunder as they try to knock off the four-time national champion Saskatoon Hilltops, and they've got to always strive to get better. The U of S Huskies doing the same thing. They're on the recruiting trail, and we're going to hear from one of their latest recruits here now, Stephen Gelowitz, who is a wide receiver type out of Holy Cross. I believe I got that right, don't I, Stephen?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. So how many years have you been playing football?
I've been playing football for about 6 or 7 years now. Played the past 3 years, like, here at Holy Cross for the senior team.
Okay, so what got you into football?
My older brother used to play football, and so just kind of always watching him and whatever definitely got me super interested.
What position did he play?
He was actually a linebacker.
Okay, and when you started football, what position were you, Steven?
When I first started, I was a receiver, and I ended up moving to quarterback after a couple of seasons.
Okay, and now you find yourself receiving the football again. Do you like that position best?
You know, I love both positions, but yeah, definitely receiver is position I like the most.
Did you get to play any quarterback in high school, Stephen?
I did. I got to back up a couple games, and then the first game of our season this year, our quarterback was injured, and I started that game.
I know back in the day, the Regina Rams, in their junior days and even into the university days with Frank McChrystal and Bernie Schmidt, they used to like to have, you know, like the Jason Claremont, who was a quarterback. They liked to start him off as a slot back, and, you know, he thought that, that really helped him in his progression. Do you find that being a quarterback helps you be a better receiver?
I definitely think it helped, yeah, for sure. Just knowing what quarterbacks are kind of looking for in defenses, how to read a defense, it definitely helped with that. Just learning how to run my routes a little bit better and kind of know what the quarterback is thinking.
Sorry for cutting you off there. What's your go-to route, Stephen Gelowitz?
Go-to route? I'm not too sure, actually. I like running a post or a corner route, honestly, are probably the two most fun routes to run.
So you're 5'11", 175 pounds. Are you an aggressive receiver? Like if I haven't watched you, and really actually, to be honest, I haven't watched you in live action. I've seen some tape. But if I haven't watched you, what's your strength? Just tell the folks listening, give us the Coles Notes scouting report on you.
Little scouting report. I'd say I'm a pretty aggressive receiver. You know, I'll get down and block for sure. Just do my job every play. But also kind of try to mess with the defense a little bit, just trick out the defensive backs. And I'm not the fastest guy, but pretty quick and can be pretty shifty as well. So.
All right, Stephen Gelowitz joining us here, one of the latest recruits here for Scott Flory's University of Saskatchewan Huskies. What made you pick the Huskies?
Definitely just the team that I'm most familiar with, you know, being from Saskatoon. And I really like the coaching staff as well, like what Coach Flory has done with the team over the past year that he's been the head coach. And, you know, I know a lot of the players as well, and so it really influenced my decision in choosing the Huskies.
Yeah, it's what a lot of kids say. It's the familiarity and the comfortability of being at home and knowing a lot of the guys. And really, when you look at it out west here, it's got probably the best atmosphere too, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's a very good atmosphere with everything going on there.
And you talk about the coaching staff. How big a part did that play? You know, you got the Marcus Crandall, who played in the CFL, Scott Flory, Grey Cup champ. You got, Mazika. You got Demetrician, the receivers coach. How much did that play a factor in it?
That definitely played a huge factor in it. You know, especially just talking with Scott Flory, not only is he just like an unreal coach, and with all of his experience as a player, just super nice guys as well. Like all the coaches are, you know, very real with you, very good guys, and you can just tell that they want you to succeed. And they definitely have, so much knowledge between all of them.
If you're a receiver, you want to have a quarterback throw you the ball. You guys got a couple of good ones there. In the present, you got Kyle Siemens into his last year, and then you got Mason Nias out of Regina who could throw the ball all over the place. How much did that weigh into it, too, for you?
You know, that weighed in a little bit. Didn't think about it too much, but, you know, I just know that those quarterbacks are, like, really good guys. Siemens, super fun to watch, you know, watching a bunch of the Huskies games. And then Nias, actually, I remember watching this Team Sask, and know that he made Team Canada back in when he played U18. And so, yeah, I just know that he's also a very solid quarterback. So,
okay, lastly, two more questions for you, okay? One Christmas-related, one future-related. If you could look into Stephen Gelowitz's U of S Huskies crystal ball, what do you want us to say about you 5 years down the line? How do you want the career to go?
Oh, 5 years from now? I'm sure you know who Mitch Hillis is. You know, I look up to that guy a lot. Mm-hmm. And, I'd kind of like to be in the same position as him. You know, I look up to Mitch a lot as a huge role model, kind of as a star of the Huskies, and, you know, that's kind of my goal for the future, just try to get to that level, really.
That's a really good bar to try to achieve for sure, as he's a well-respected player, no doubt about that. Okay, and lastly, it's Christmas season, Stephen Gelowitz. Best Christmas present you've ever received?
Best Christmas present I've ever received. Oh, that's going to be a tough one. Probably best Christmas present I've ever received, actually, was probably just a hockey stick, actually. You know, I love going to the rink and whatever in the winter with my brother, and so my brother got me a nice hockey stick one winter, and so that was probably the best present I've ever received.
Okay, favorite football player besides your brother growing up, who'd you like?
Besides my brother growing up, probably favorite professional football player growing up. I loved Andy Fantuz with the Riders, actually. Loved watching him.
It'd be nice if your career ended up like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And I know this is it's a football podcast, but you mentioned hockey stick. We're Canadians. We love hockey, too. Favorite hockey player or team?
Not necessarily a player. My favorite team is definitely the Montreal Canadiens. Two of my uncles definitely got me hooked when I was younger and been a Habs fan since, so...
Well, there you go. That's great. Well, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas to you. And you sound like a really well-spoken guy and will be a nice addition to the Huskies. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.